are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Thank you, Gregory. Father God, we just thank you for this time we have in your word today. We thank you, Father, for all our kids who are released to children's ministry at this moment. And we ask that you would bless their time in the word. Father, we look to you as we celebrate connecting generations. You have been faithful to Joy over the years to bring together a multiracial, multicultural, multigenerational body of believers. And for that, we are so awesomely grateful for. We ask, Lord God, that you would anoint our time together in the Word. We pray that you would bless the truth that you want us to hear, you want us to apply, and you want that truth to transform the way we think, the way we behave, and the way we do life with you. In Jesus' name, I need an anointing today. Help me, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit, O Lord, as you come and visit us through your word. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about the spiritual impact of connecting generations. I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 to 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us the spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Amen? Now, this is actually going to be a two-part sermon today. So we're not going to, some of you got the worksheets that I, you know, the sermon notes and all that. So don't panic, because I'm going to be talking about a lot of stuff from these seven verses. So I'm going to make it a two-part sermon. When we hear these people's names, we automatically think of a significant spiritual impact. Pastor Al Gerhardt, Papa Joe and Carolyn Pratico, Bill Blakely, Jim and Connie Cox, Eugene and Kathy Henn, Loretta and Eula Dozer, Charles and Mary Lou Riley, Marilyn Ash, Pastor Tony and Susan Monorana, Ernest and Shirley Jackson, Tom and Ruth Smith, Miss Loretta Patterson, Miss Ann Procora, and Pastors Alvin and Deborah Paris. These are heroes of the faith who have purposely invested in the younger generations of Joy Community Church. Let's thank the Lord for these dear saints today. And there are many more. They have longed for the new generation to fulfill the call, destiny, and purposes of God for this generation, today's generation, to establish the kingdom of God wherever they live, wherever they work, whoever they hang out with, and wherever they go. They have deposited within those individuals, the individuals of Joy Community Church, a part of God's heart and spirit and purpose for the greater Rochester area. Joy is meant to be a generational body of believers. These individuals burn with a holy fire and willingly have made sacrifices to leave this next generation with a spiritual legacy. We are in desperate need of a spiritual legacy, folks. We need to rise up and not be intimidated by this generation. We are not called to be intimidated because we're not of the same thought pattern, the same style of living, the same behaviors, or technologically savvy. Sometimes we can't connect on all forces, all cylinders, and we think that they need someone else. Can I tell you, they need you?
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
They do. Amen. They need you. God needs you. It has been the heart of these saints to pass on a godly heritage so that Joy will have a significant spiritual impact at the corner of Bay and Goodman and the greater Rochester area. You heard the next generation get up and speak about the Hope Shop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
That didn't come from just a dream on her own. That came from people who've been praying and investing and making that ministry a reality over many years before that Hope Shop was ever established. Can I say that? Grocery bags went through the streets of this community way before we had a Hope Shop. This has been a legacy of generosity, a legacy and heritage of a heart for the disenfranchised. Amen? What a powerful legacy. The Apostle Paul demonstrated the same significant spiritual impact as he mentored his young protege, Timothy. Paul's concern was not for himself, though a prisoner in Rome. It was for Timothy. Though he was suffering himself, though he had now been on lockdown, and he knew he was about to be martyred for his faith, his heart is not for his own circumstance. His heart now is the future of the gospel message and its importance to reach the world. Because Paul had a vision for the kingdom of God touching the world. Paul presented Timothy with the necessary essentials to help him, what? Fight the good fight. Can I tell you, it is a fight. What you walk through these doors, and you sometimes don't know what's going to happen. You are about to do something, and you get a call, you get a text, you get an email, you get an invitation to something in somebody's life, and they need Jesus. They need the power of God. They need the Holy Spirit to come and visit in a powerful way. Amen? And you are the carriers of that Jesus. You are the hands of that Jesus. You are the feet of that Jesus. You are the one who holds that burden that Christ has for the lost. Because he himself said, I came to seek those who were lost. That is our spiritual heritage. That is our spiritual legacy. And that's why we need to connect with all generations, not just the next. I am saying to the oldest of old, whether you're on Facebook this morning or sitting here, and I know some who are at home watching us right now, and they're in their 90s, or just turned 90. Can I tell you, they're needed? Can I tell you, they have more wisdom than I have? Can I tell you, they've lived faithfully a walk I've not yet completed or lived out, and they have a wealth of richness and an inheritance of godliness that we all need a touch from. Amen?
do not forget those who have gray hair and wrinkled skin and barely walk, because they have the power of God that's dwelling within them. And if you touch it and you reach out to it, you will be transformed for the glory of God. We need the next generation, but we need the older generation. Come on, folks. It's exciting to me. I knew it was exciting when I read what Paul had to say to Timothy. Read 1 and 2 Timothy, and if you want a vision for a spiritual heritage and legacy, and you want to leave something rich to the kingdom of God, begin to invest in others. It's transforming. He mentored Timothy so that Timothy would embrace, as a timid young man, as a cowardice young man, as a fearful, anxious, stressed out young man in his first pastorate. I remember those days. And even though I've been a pastor for 30-something years, I still feel that at times. And boy, is it nice to have a mentor. Boy, is it nice to have a coach and an accountability partner who can keep me aligned in my life. All from various generations. Paul wanted Timothy to really execute his calling, his giftings, and minister the transforming power of Jesus Christ's gospel. That's what it's all about. If we're going to be a church that's alive, if we're going to be a church that has significant impact in the days to come, it's not about filling chairs up. It's about people ministering to people. Are you hearing me this morning? And not just the pastoral staff, not just the leaders of ministry. I'm inviting everyone to be a participant in reaching out and mentoring and standing alongside of and caring for those who need a touch of the supernatural transforming power of Jesus Christ. Those are exciting things to be thinking about in this hour. Connecting generations will experience a significant spiritual impact. If you want a spiritual impact in a local church, then all generations have to participate in that, not just one. It's just not the new idea. It's just not the new method. It's just not the new way of thinking. It's things that have been tested and are true and fall into those categories, and together, that's where the transforming power rests in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's when you get the new and you get the old and you bring them together and they move together in the purposes of God. That's when things really begin to happen. Paul provides for us in these seven verses, seven essentials that can help each generation connect so they can have a spiritual impact together. And so for the next few weeks, I want to share about this because this is my heart. This is in my spirit. This is something I've understood since I've been a wee boy. Even before I believed in Jesus Christ, I valued rich relationships with my grandparents and my aunts and uncles and older people who lived in my neighborhood. They were sick and tired of me knocking on the door and asking if I could come in. I'm telling you the truth. And usually it was for supper because I was hungry. And they let me come in. And I became a family friend. There was a method to my madness, I'm just saying. Seven essentials, and I want to share a few of those this morning, and then I'll continue in the next week. The first one, the first essential in building significant, strategic, life-giving, spiritual impact is this. You have to anchor your relationship with security and stability. So when two generations are coming together and they are involved in the Lord together, there's a responsibility that we have. And it's when we anchor our relationship with security and stability. You see that in verse 1. Paul connects his apostleship with what? The will of God. Whatever role he's given you, whenever he's asked you to serve, and first of all, you didn't think that up. He anointed you. He called you. He resourced you. He equipped you. He prepared you to do those works of ministry. And he didn't do it for you to sit on a chair on Sunday morning thinking about what you're going to do next. He put it in you so you could invest it in one another. Amen? Amen. And I see that happen here at Joy all the time. It's going on all the time. Week after week, people are investing in others. And I love it. I love it. And so he connects his apostleship to the will of God according to the promise of life. That's really significant, because you can look at the scripture and say, where are the generations here? What's he talking about? Well, when he mentions the promise of life in Jesus Christ, he's actually talking about the promises that were made to Abraham even before the law was written. Isn't that interesting? And then he's talking about that not only the promises of Abraham, but of Isaac and Jacob, and the promises of the great Messiah, Jesus Christ. And now they are fulfilled. Christ is risen from the dead. He's actually ascended into heaven, and then Pentecost has come, and the church is birthed, and now every person who becomes a believer has the resurrection power and salvation in Jesus Christ. And so he's saying those promises have been made real right back to Abraham from generation to generation to generation. Incredible. The promise of life is Paul's mission. And he wants to pass on that promise of life, the promises of each generation. He wants that mission to keep Timothy secure and stable as he encourages him to receive the fulfillment of these promises as he fellowships with Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important that when people are missing or people are they're going AWOL, they're falling away like flies, we don't let it happen. We go after that. Are you hearing me, folks? And it shouldn't only rest on my shoulders. We're called the body of Christ, meaning each one of us who has an investment and relationship, you're required as much as I am to reach out to those who are going the wrong direction. That's not all up to me, though I'm very passionate about it and very busy about that. That is my heart. But I want to encourage you. I like what Billy Graham stated. He said, every generation is strategic. We are not responsible for the past generation. We cannot bear full responsibility for the next generation. But we do have our generation. God will hold us responsible as to how well we fulfilled our responsibilities to this age and take advantage of our opportunities. He lived that, he believed that, and he ministered with that heart. And he was an anchor in the body of Christ. Billy Graham was an anchor in the kingdom of God. He kept things stable, steady, because he was reliable. And he knew whom called him into ministry. Who's been calling you to serve him? Who's been calling you to focus on him? Who's been calling you to be an anchor in somebody else's life who is struggling in their walk with Christ? Timothy was struggling. He was apprehensive. He was indecisive. He was uncertain. He was intimidated. He was in a new setting, and he didn't quite have a grip yet on his leadership in Ephesus, in the church. The second essential that we see in verse 2, and it says, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And the second essential is this: affectionately validate the person you are investing your life in. Here is this affectionate display from Paul. He is really devoted. He's devoted his love to Timothy. He realized how beautiful the relationship and how dear Timothy has been to him. And now, as his life is coming to a close, he affectionately takes on the role as his spiritual father. Can I tell you today, we need spiritual mothers and fathers of the faith. We need you desperately. We need you desperately to pour in to this generation of people. We need you to be willing to be vulnerable and to validate that individual's life and the direction that you even sense that God's leading them on the path that he's designed for them, and to participate with that. That's what he is doing. He's displaying this affection, and he's validating Timothy. He uses the word, "my dear son." And this expression underscores the special relationship between this older generation and a newer generation. And he wasn't giving him a list of all the things that he wanted him to do. He was validating who he was already. He was validating what God had already promised Timothy. He was validating, even though Timothy was heading in a wrong direction because of his fear and intimidation, and he wasn't addressing the issues of the local church, he came alongside of him, undergirded him, and lifted him up to give him the courage to deal with the false teachers, the people who were challenging his leadership, and then just the intimidation of the call itself. And so he stands by him, and he encourages his heart affectionately. He says, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God." And this here is actual, what he's doing is he's actually blessing him. This is a blessing, the blessing of God's favor. Because he opens his blessing with the word grace. And grace is unmerited favor. And he's saying there's an opening that when you tap into the grace of God's favor, Timothy, you won't have to worry. You won't have to be intimidated. You won't have to worry about failing. You won't have to worry about your effectiveness, because you're going to experience not only grace, but the mercy of God and the peace that passes all understanding. And that mercy is actually, if you translate that, it's actually God extended in times of difficulty an unconditional love to you. I don't know about you, but I've faced many times of difficulty. Many times, I'm not even talking about when I serve God in this role. I'm just saying, as an individual Christian, you have difficulties, you have trials, you have temptations, you have difficulties because your faith is constantly being challenged. And boy, it's been so encouraging to have people from different generations come and speak into those areas of my life. I'm so grateful for that. I want to take us to the third essential before I end today. And in verse 3, it says, "I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did." There's the generations right there, right? "As my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers." Can I say something and kind of step out on a limb? There's somebody right now assigned to pray for you. You may not even know them by name. But they've been assigned. God's put you on their heart, and you come up to their mind and their spirit, sometimes for very positive reasons, and sometimes for not very positive reasons. They may not even know what the unpositive reasons may be, but they're impressed at certain times of the day or month or week to get on their knees and cry out for your soul. Aren't you happy about that? Yeah. I know that to be true. And so the next essential, the third essential, is affirm through dedicated and constant prayer. If you can't get up and go, you can get on your knees and pray. If you don't have the same energy you used to have when you were younger, you can still get up and pray. You can also pick up your phone and call and pray. Can I say that? And if you spontaneously do that, you will inspire many people's lives. God is looking for people who will actually invest in young people's lives through prayer. And what an encouragement it must have been for Timothy to have Paul praying constantly. It says, as day and night, I constantly remember you in my prayers. And I prayed this week for our congregation that God would give us a constant prayer for others. That's what I've been praying this week. A constant prayer, a caring prayer, a considerate prayer, a prayer that can transform the situation that individual is involved in or might even know they're heading into. Can I tell you, when I was a young pastor in Eddyville, New York, I was overwhelmed, just like Timothy. I can relate to Timothy so well. And there was this pastor from Buffalo, New York, and he had no reason to reach out to me and to become a mentor. But I met him at a ministerial meeting, and there was this other senior pastor there, and he said, I'm assigning you to him. Now, I know why he was doing that, because I was a real pain in the neck. That's why he was assigning this pastor to me. And so this pastor faithfully met me every month, and I could ask any question I wanted. And boy, did I have questions I had that needed to be answered. Then I could bring any situation that I was facing to him and not have to worry that he would think of me less spiritual because I didn't know what I was doing. And he would call me on Saturday nights to encourage me. Pastor Andy, Zach is his name. Pastor Andy would call me and encourage me. He would bust on me, give me a rough time. He would inspire me to take new steps of faith and not to be intimidated by my situation. And then he would just pray for a spiritual impartation. That transformed my life. And when I left that church, he didn't forget me. He still invested in my life. And today, he's still involved in my life. What a gift from God he's been to my life. And actually, he's the part of the reason I'm here at Joy today. He was the connection for me to Joy. And he called me that night to inspire me, encourage me, because he knew I was going through a very difficult time of ministry. And he told me about this church in Rochester called Joy Community Church. God has his way, folks. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And he is inviting us to this season of affirming one another through dedicated and constant prayer. Because connecting generations, when you do that, they will experience and have significant spiritual impact. Who's up for that? Put your hand up if you're up for that. I'm telling you, let's pray. We'll continue this after Mother's Day. I am so excited, Lord, because this has been such a magnificent part of my journey. I live this. I believe this. I love those men who've invested in my life. Today, my mentor, my coach, my accountability partner, all men who have invested and sacrificed for my well-being. I love them dearly. And we are in a season of challenge. And we are in a season where the world and the enemy are trying to redefine the church. And we stand up and declare we are going to be men and women who pass on a God-fearing legacy. of kingdom purpose. I'm going to challenge you right now. If you want to be one of those people, stand up where you are. I want to pray a blessing over you. You want to be somebody who passes on a spiritual heritage with kingdom purpose. Come on, lift up your hands. You need to ask Jesus for this. He can do this. Lord, you have challenged me to invest in young men's lives. You've challenged me to give of my time, my heart, and my resources because of the blessing you've placed on my life. Lord, every hand that's up has been blessed by God. Every hand that's up has received from God. And every hand up has experienced the transformational power of Jesus Christ. And Lord, there's a generation waiting to experience that supernatural power, that transformational power, with somebody standing by their side. Lord, direct each person here this week to begin to pray that constant prayer for someone that you put on their heart. And may that lead to opening a door of that deposit that needs to take place in the next generation's life. We declare today that Joy Community Church is about being a multiracial, multicultural, and multi-generational church who longs to go bringing the gospel message to transform its community and people for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be inspired and go forth with great confidence. We're going to open up the altar here. If you need a time of ministry and encouragement, please come forward. And remember, you're going to have spiritual impact this week because you are one of the generations I was talking about. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.